Welcome to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. At Finstrat, we provide CFO-led accounting, finance, and reporting services to assist clients monetize their business. Stick around to the end of the podcast, and I'll share how you can be our next guest. Now, on to the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. With us today, we've got David Yang. David is a co-founder of Nuo. David, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Christian.
Super excited to have you on. You got a PhD in computer science, focus on artificial intelligence. And right before we're soaking, you started mentioning consciousness. So I think we have the potential to have a really exciting podcast on our hands here. So with that, why don't we start with Nuo? Would love to learn more about the company and what problem you're solving in the market.
Nuo is my latest company. I started 13 companies. Nuo is solving the problem of missed calls.
Okay.
Every single business, small, large, medium, has this fundamental problem. The business cannot react on inbound lead inquiries immediately. And as a result, 40% of our marketing investments gone. We don't pick up phones in two rings. We don't answer Instagram messages in 2 seconds. As a result, our revenue is, we are missing revenue. So our technology is capable of answering calls, answering Instagram messages, web chat, and convert them into revenue, into bookings, and increasing revenue. This is the problem we're solving.
So let's unpack this. So one of the things, I don't have a PhD in computer science, so feel free to educate me all day long. So one of the things I've understood is if you think about solving a set of problems, that complexity is a factor. So I'm going to oversimplify it and say someone calls a call center and says, I need to reset my password. Let's call that an easy problem to solve. Where if someone calls in and has questions on how to configure an enterprise of software and understanding that there are a whole host of variables that may impact that, more complex and more challenging. How should I think about Nuo's software responding to inbound? Are there dependencies on certain use cases where you shine, or not dependencies, but are there certain use cases where you shine, or no? Have you come at this to say it doesn't matter what anybody says on the other end? We're gonna be able to address that potential lead.
Yes, the answer is simple. All inbound inquiries can be broken down into big buckets: pre-sale, okay. Post-sale.
Okay.
So we recommend our customers to start with pre-sale consultation, pre-sale communications, all up to the sale moment.
Okay.
So as soon as you did this, you immediately see impact, positive impact to your top line. It's from $25,000 to $50,000 per location per month. Average small, medium business is getting from our type of technologies. So if you multiply about 12 months, basically it's $250,000 up to $500,000 per year per one location. You're getting new revenue. So focus first on pre-sale and do your post-sale consultations, customer success, customer support part afterwards.
Okay.
So, because there, it's a big, very different story. And you're right. Answering questions based on static information which is not dependent on your previous history, like how to reset or something. It could be written, it could be found, the answer could be found in some kind of static database. That is more or less simple. It's not that simple if number of documents like exceed like, I don't know, 10,000 pages or 100,000 pages. But until it's several thousand pages, it's possible. More complex situation when you have to fetch for dynamic information like previous your payment situation and collecting data from different data sources. To answer basically your question, where is my money? When will I get my product? You have to. We call it dynamic information. So basically, before you go to all that customer support, customer success part, please first think about your top line. You are losing 20, 40% of your revenue right now.
So that makes good sense. So, do you find that you have more success with B2C, just retail or consumer-based businesses, or is this, are you finding success also with B2B as well?
B2B as well, but wherever you have a lot of communications between you and your customers, then immediately you naturally are losing some part of them. And regardless of is it a B2C or B2B, if you are having 10 calls per day or 100 calls per day, or potentially 1,000 calls per day, which is rarely, mostly it's from 10 to 100 calls per day. Calls or web chat or Instagram inquiries, so all kinds of channels. You're losing 20, 40% of them. Why? Because 10% you're naturally losing from non-working hours. Most likely your call center, your reception is not working during weekends and after whatever 9 p.m. or 7 p.m. So 10% from 7 to 14 actually percent of all your new customers are coming from that non-working hours. So that you immediately cover with AI front desk solutions.
Okay, and that makes it makes really good sense. I mean, if there aren't anyone available to pick up a call, either because there's too many calls coming in or the office is closed, having the technology that can answer and address inbound makes good sense. And I totally get how there's a difference between pre and post sale. How does it work though? So let's just say office is closed. And someone wants to talk to a human. Is it simply of just program or, providing the software, the instructions of what to do in that scenario? Like, hey, give me your information and we'll call you back when the office is open. Or is the technology mature to the point where it can actually, help close a deal?
Yes, the second one.
Okay.
It's quite mature. I can show you our latest third generation technology, which actually can smile and can understand emotions. It's completely voice to voice. And then I will answer to your question. Is it okay?
I don't know that I'm going to see it, but let's give it a shot.
I will. Yes. Let's listen.
Thank you for choosing Image Orthodontics Pacific Heights. This is Emmy, your AI receptionist. Puedes hablar en español conmigo. How can I make you smile today?
Hi, I need Invisalign, please.
Sure. May I confirm if you're a new patient or reaching out for the first time?
I'm reaching out for the first time, but the problem is that I'm scared of doctors.
I understand that you're feeling a bit scared, and we completely understand. We'll make sure everything is comfortable for you here. Would you like me to help you schedule an appointment for Invisalign?
Could we do the entire procedure over Zoom call? I'm just kidding.
That's a funny idea. While we can't do the entire procedure over Zoom, we'd be happy to schedule a consultation for you here. Would you like to do that?
Wow.
What do you
So
think?
I think you maybe know my next question is going to be is, you may have answered it earlier, but how does training work?
We currently have a platform on top of our platform which reads your business website and will understand and train itself. So yes, you just it's simple. You just go to newo.ai/creator. You will see for it's a field. You paste your URL, press train, and our platform it takes about 3 minutes. It goes and reads all your pages, your product, services, prices, your working hours, story about your company, locations, if you are a multi-location organizations, and it will produce provision a phone number for you, which we call AI phone number. And that's it. Now you have a phone number, you can call this number, you can talk to your AI sales, AI receptionist. And as soon as you're ready and you're satisfied, you just redirect all inbound calls from your existing public phone number to this number after the second ring. So you give your human coworkers chance to pick up the phone. We call it human first, AI second. So humans will be able to, they have chance this four, whatever, 8 seconds, 10 seconds, two rings to pick up the phone. If they fail to pick up the phone because they're absent, they're talking to other customers, it's non-working hours time, the phone will immediately be redirected to the AI receptionist. AI receptionist will answer all questions, look at the open slots. Your customer will say, "I want to come visit your doctor in the office at 7 p.m. or whatever, 7 p.m. next Wednesday." And agent will actually go and check in the patient management system and say, "Oh, I just checked 7 p.m. We're not available. How about 6? And if the person says yes, 6, agent will ask all about insurance, whatever is needed,
Got it.
the date of birth, and will put this information into patient system so doctors will see actual appointment.
I think I know the answer to the next question, but I'm going to ask anyway. So, what inspires you and your co-founder to start this business?
I mean, I'm a restaurant owner in my past. I had this hobby. I'm a certified barista. I'm a latte art. Yes, I ran several restaurants and bars, where I hated the software. At that time, it was 2004, 2005, that POS system at that time. And we decided to create our own POS system, which currently runs 70,000 restaurants in 60 countries. So that it's it was I was inspired by my previous poor experience of using that inventory systems and POS systems of that time. Currently, with this, I mean, are you angry when you're calling that company and that bank and when the airlines and I mean, it's terrible, right? So obviously, when we created Morpheus in my AI home in 2019 as a science art project, omni-channel voice text, omni-channel non-biological companion who was observing 116 cameras around my house and operated robotic dogs, Leo and Abigail, who were sleeping right there. And we were just experimenting and having fun. In 2023, our fourth co-founder, Luba, came across and said, "Guys, what are you guys doing here? What Let's do something meaningful with that, voice technologies. Let's make it work for real, user experience." And then we eventually it evolved to this concept of AI front desk, AI receptionist.
Okay, so I'd love to totally make sense. I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't think there's probably anyone who isn't listening to this podcast has had, negative emotions associated calling in to credit card companies, airlines, utilities. What's the future have in store? Obviously there's a big debate right now of the role of humans relative to artificial intelligence. My position is it depends on what the underlying subject is, but I would love to hear your outlook.
All these new revolutions and technologies are having ups and downs and romantic phases, and then completely disaster phases, and then realistic. So I think I'm right now in that realistic part of this journey. A couple of years ago, when we started, we thought, wow, that will replace everything and everyone. After 1 hour actual real world deployments, we said, oh, disaster. It will never work. It captures side conversations from public places where latency is bad and it replies in 3 seconds and cannot, otherwise it cannot think. I cannot understand the availability data from external webhooks and APIs, and then it does hallucinate and it doesn't work. Eventually, when we created this zero hallucination architecture on our platform, when our agents actually are capable of thinking and speaking simultaneously, that's how we deliver that high reasoning budget agents with extremely sub-second latency, natural ultra realistic voices. Currently, we're in this reality phase. We understand AI agents will work actually along with humans. It will be a real cooperation, which is happening actually already now. Human first, AI second, or AI first, human second. But in 99% of our cases, it's a cooperation.
Okay, so you mentioned zero hallucinations. Can you give us a sense?
Yeah, we started some time ago using the best models, and it looks fantastic and mind-blowing when you see this demo in the beginning, that agent is capable of checking available slots, sending SMS while during the conversation, replying to emails. But then you realize that in reality, 5% of your bookings actually happening on at the wrong time. Or agent is saying, I've sent an SMS but never did. Or it asks you to provide an email. You are not doing that just because you've forgotten. Agent never will ask again, close the conversation, and without the email, actually will eventually fail to book your birthday party. So different hallucinations of different kinds are natural for even the best model possible. And the only way to overcome this problem, because you don't want to face situations when you are arriving with your family Friday night,
Sure.
and the restaurant host human says, Christian, I'm sorry, I don't see your reservation. And you will say, no, I spoke to your stupid AI and it says I do have a reservation. Even I have a confirmation on my SMS. And they said, but I'm sorry, still is not there. So that situation we have to admit happened.
Sure.
And it's happening, it has been happening with us, with our competitors, with everyone. The only way to overcome, and luckily that we started 5 years ago, 6 years ago with our parallel thinking platform, we created a layer of observers and supervisors, AI agents, which constantly are listening to the conversation of this major conversational agent. And when they see some inconsistencies, they whisper to this convoy agent, conversation agent, that hey, sorry, don't finish this call. You asked about this to send SMS back with this email address, but Christian never did it. So AI agent, conversational agent was say, just a second, Christian, I think I still don't see your email. Or you did, but actually your email doesn't look right. It doesn't have .com or something. So the observers and supervisors are constantly look at what is happening, and they are tailored to address these corner cases. And we found 4,000 corner cases about this relative times, relative dates, working hours, non-working hours, time zones, area codes, country codes. You can't even imagine how many different problems we found with our millions of sessions we had to monitor and to understand. So currently, with that out-of-the-box experience, agent burns give birth itself by just observing your website. It looks so simple, like reading the website, creating the phone, and but actually underlying, it's a multi-layer, massive system.
So, part of my understanding, it's ingenious, by the way, but part of my understanding is that when an observer and a supervisor is training an agent, it uses actual, I don't know, scoring is the right word, but it actually, there's a concept of reinforcing good behavior and rewarding it when it does things right. But and also, I don't know if punishing is the right word, but
Punishing. Yeah.
Letting it know when it did something wrong. Is that part of the process that you're employing in order to induce correct behavior?
Reinforcement is a part of that. It mostly happening not during the call. You don't want to do it during the call, but after the call, you have this post-mortem, after session reports. We have a several set of supervisors, AI supervisors, and by the way, human supervisors, human in the loop supervisors, cell also, which actually listen and look at the conversations after the conversations are ended, to put stars and some feedback, what was wrong, what was right. Yes, and you are correct. It also reinforcing the right behavior next time.
Okay. So I'd love to get your outlook. What are the next year, 5 years look like with this technology, and what are you anticipating?
1 million agents on our platform. This is our minimum goal.
Okay.
We believe that it's a very, very, how to say, really minimal goal, because overall we expect that on this planet Earth we will have at least 300 million non-biological employees, AI employees, AI receptionists. Basically, almost every single business in the world, which is big enough to have a website or big enough to have a business answering service, business voicemail, that businesses will switch very soon, and currently switching to the capable AI agents, which are not just passing messages, but also closing the deals. So 300 million is the minimum. It's only relates to the frontline employees. Similar amount, even larger amount of AI employees will start working inside the back of the office. So HR, accounts receivables, accounts payables, many other operational part. So that's the and we're not talking about physical presence yet. We are talking about so-called knowledge workers, right? We, 10 years ago, remember RPA, robotic process automation, if you remember that big story, UiPath, Automation Anywhere, all that RPA, big hype. We were talking about knowledge workers, humans who basically have information inbound, information outbound, thing. But we also are talking about not only knowledge workers, but physical workers. And that part is a separate thing. So physical AI kiosks or moving kiosks, like in the form of humanoid robots or four leg different systems, which will physically work in hotels and different types of receptions. It will add another X amount of millions of AI workers.
So is it fair to say that this technology gets close to fully autonomous?
What depends on what exactly you define as fully in the word fully autonomous? Yes, fully autonomous. I mean, is your human receptionist is fully autonomous? Basically, yes and no. Unless something is going out of the scope of the job description, is pretty much autonomous.
That's fair.
So in that sense, yes.
Okay. Before we started recording, we were talking about consciousness. And I know this is a subject that I've listened to. I haven't participated in as much, but I've listened to on the periphery of whether or not AI can become conscious. It's probably We can probably devote an entire podcast to the subject, but I've got you, so I'm going to ask what's your opinion?
I asked this question to His Holiness Dalai Lama 14th when I met him in Dharamsala in India. My
Oh.
presentation was at the conference of AI of animal consciousness, and
Okay.
it was a conference, animal consciousness conference. So my presentation was about AI consciousness, and we met the participants of this conference met Dalai Lama, and the question was about this. About overall, what is consciousness? What is biological consciousness? What, do animals have consciousness? And I asked this question whether he believes that AI will ever possess consciousness, and he gave a very, very interesting question answer, which I was able to understand at least 6 months later, actually.
Okay.
He said that AI must possess body first to get to that moment. And my immediate reply was, just a second, with all that respect, why we shouldn't we consider the computer rack as a body? He said, no. And basically, now I understand completely clearly that consciousness is actually a product not only of the brain, but also of our all senses and sensors. And basically, brain itself doesn't produce consciousness. Consciousness is a whole in and out resonance moment when conscious subjects resonate between each other using feelings, including words, sight, to communicate and resonate. That is consciousness. It's a and in that sense, yes, I truly believe that specifically the quantum computing based processors and big large models will be indistinguishably conscious. So we still don't know what is biological consciousness, what is free will, do we possess free will or not? But at least we can't, with quantum computers, we can't claim that technically it's deterministic. If we put aside for a moment that these giant clusters of thousands of servers of AWC or Azure are not deterministic just because they fail from time to time. Someone should reset them. If we put it aside, mathematically it's deterministic, but quantum computing is mathematically not deterministic. So so yes, my answer, it's a long long answer to your question, but I believe that AI will possess consciousness. AI will possess the same free will as we do. If we do possess free will, they also will possess free will. And it means we will have to find a way to live together.
It's interesting. This is a really fun subject, and I wish we had a lot more time. Let me ask you this. So one of the ways I draw a distinction between humans and animals is free will. I have two dogs, and I watch them make decisions, but they don't under I realize or have an opinion that they're not making decisions based on morality like humans do, which affect our judgment. Let's humor me for a moment. Let's just say that having understanding or having a concept of right and wrong is core to free will. Do
Well,
you think that AI would have an understanding of right and wrong beyond what it's taught?
very interesting question you're raising. Well, consciousness, I belong to that cohort who believes that consciousness is having states. So there is no just black and white. This is conscious, this is not. I believe that the consciousness has states. In my personal, I'm a physicist by training. I believe the electron does have quantum consciousness. Just collapsing the wave and particle is actually is a expression of conscious decision, in my opinion.
Okay.
So, basically, macro systems, giant macro systems like us humans have the highest kind of level of consciousness, conscious states. But I truly believe my dog, my cat, I'm a cat man. I mean, I love dogs as well. He, Bixie, does have consciousness of some kind. Moral, yes, moral part is the important and crucial element in all social constructs. For social animals, the rules are crucial for evolution, including humans. So if we ever will live together with free kind of driving cars, which will make these decisions, and even more importantly, our humanoid robots, which who will also will need to make decisions, hard decisions, like the car. If the car is failing and has to make a decision who to hit, that child or a grandpa. Our these complex non-deterministic systems must have moral ground and alignment with the society where they live, to be aligned with the rules of the society.
Be interesting to see how it plays out. We should have this conversation again in 5 years and 10 years and see how things develop. David, we're close to wrapping up. Before we do, any words of wisdom or key takeaways that you'd like to share with the audience that you wish you would have known when you were younger and first starting out in the world?
I wish I would not know how complex every new technology is, because if someone would know how complex new business, how many underwater, underground complexities it does have, no one would start new technologies, new companies. Luckily, the entrepreneurs have this shield, and they have they think it's in the beginning, they think it's all doable. That's why they start. I think I would like those of the audience, people who are starting new technologies, be positive and think positive, and think is everything is possible. Start, fail, but without failing is not will not work. To those of the listeners who actually run their own businesses, I would definitely recommend to l watch and listen to such kind of podcasts more to be in line with what is happening, because if your competitors will start using AI technologies, is let's say the same frontline employees, AI call centers, and will start getting 40% more more customers,
That's a competitive advantage.
you might
Material.
yes find yourself out of the business. If you are not answering Yelp inquiries in seconds, Yelp will depreciate next time and will not send you the lead, right? So many our home service customers, cleaning server customers, medical customers, therapists are using our technologies to reply on Yelp or Thumbtack or website immediately. And it allows them to get more and more leads, because Yelp likes, we all like when someone is replying immediately, not tomorrow. So basically, be open to new technologies, try, and we will be happy if we can help somehow. newo.ai/creator. This is the place where you can create your AI first AI employee in 3 minutes, and talk to your AI employee in 3 minutes from now. No joke, no exaggeration. You can just do it. So yeah, we will be happy.
Fantastic. And if for all of our guests and listeners, if you look in the show notes, we have a link to Nuo, so you can go check it out yourself. David, before we wrap up, anyone you'd like to give or recognize personally or professionally, for having a positive impact on you over the years?
Oh my gosh. Frankly speaking, I would be zero without my wife and my family. And
Fantastic.
this is what supports you when it's all broken, everything goes down, customers, early customers churn and complain, and it's inevitable. I mean, it's but I if, when you have this, support, and you know that eventually your technologies will become reliable and will serve millions of people. Did I say that my one of my customers are serving literally 20, 50 million people? So
Wow.
that's then you need to have the support. By the way, interestingly, that my son, older son, he is 35 now. He runs his own company, and his company is quite high valuation. They serve 500,000 paying businesses.
Wow.
ManyChat, many customer, many of that our readers will recognize this company, ManyChat. They automate small businesses communications as well. So I learned from him as well. It's the time when actually he gives me a lot of good, advices, because he's younger, he knows a lot of things which I don't know. So that's the how it works.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's great. And I'm sure it gives you an opportunity to do a lot of great bonding, given you're both building businesses.
Yep.
David, if there's anyone in our audience who would like to get a hold of you, how can they find you?
I mean, we can, it's my email is simple, David at newo.ai, like New World, newo.ai. I can't guarantee I will answer everyone, but if someone will put in the subject line the name Christian Podcast, capital, so I will do my best to watch that subject lines, and I will do my best to answer if I can help with AI front desk, AI call center automation. I will be happy.
Fantastic. I love it. Again, for the benefit of our audience, David Yang, co-founder of Nuo. David, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Christian.
My pleasure. Christian Marquez here. Thank you so much for listening to the Innovators and Investors podcast. If you are a successful founder or an investor, would like to be on the podcast, please visit podcast.finstratmgmt.com/podcast-guest. If you've got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. If you know someone that would be a great guest, please tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Innovators and Investors. I'd love to see your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you catch each new episode, please subscribe to the Innovators and Investors podcast. And your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. Would you like to know more? Go to our website, finstratmgmt.com, or follow us on LinkedIn or on X. Our handle is @finstratmgmt. This is Christian Marquez. Thank you for listening. Until next time.